Awful Dodger and Moving Too Fast and Hall & Oates Out of Touch to start the hour. 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. While most people know they should be hoovering up green veg, millions don't know which plant is which and don't consume anywhere near enough of it. Some 8 in 10 UK adults believe they should be eating more vegetables, but 1 in 10 failed to identify cabbages and asparagus, while 1 in 6 couldn't pick leeks out of a photo lineup. Would you recognise a cabbage if you saw one?
Oh, I think so, yes.
There's lots of different ones. And when it comes to some of the trendy green veg, recognition's even lower, with more than a third unable to recognise watercress or pak choi and 60% flummoxed by kale, according to a survey of 2,000 adults.
Oh, yeah, kale. Wouldn't have a clue.
Growing it in my garden.
Are you?
Yeah. Had a very nice cabbage out of the garden yesterday with lunch.
Oh, very nice.
A nice Savoy cabbage. Furthermore, while green veg should be making up the bulk of the three portions of veg a day, the nutritionists strongly recommend the average consumption is just over 1.5 portions, with only 39% of Britons claiming to even like greens. We all know how important it is for our bodies to have these vital nutrients, vitamins and minerals you receive from vegetables, so these results are particularly alarming, especially when almost everybody knows they don't eat enough of them, said Dr. Max Gowland, Chief Scientific Officer at Future U Cambridge, the nutritional supplements company which carried out the research. Now, the study also revealed there are certain fruits and veg that people just can't stomach. 2% said that Swiss chard would top their favourites list. By contrast, broccoli is the most popular green veg, followed by peas. So, in reverse order, the top five. Cabbage, yes or no?
Yes, but I don't like the smell of it when you're cooking it.
It's only that the green, but the light white cabbage smells horrible.
Yeah.
Asparagus?
Yes. Ooh. Like that with a bit of vinaigrette.
Makes your peas smell funny though. Brussels sprouts at number three?
Yeah, they're not too soggy.
Peas?
Yes.
They have to be fresh though. Fresh garden peas.
Oh, yeah.
Frozen,
the mini ones.
Tinned?
No. Don't touch anything tinned.
And broccoli, number one.
Oh, yeah.
And the most hated vegetables, lettuce.
Really?
Lettuce slices.
Oh, yeah, my mother was going to call me that.
Kale?
Okay.
It's nice. It's just like cabbage. It's very versatile, kale, actually. You can make really good salad with it. Pak choi.
What's that?
It's Chinese.
Pak choi. Okay.
It's nice. Watercress. I love watercress.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's full of iron as well.
And make a Swiss lot of chard. Money out of bagged watercress.
Yeah. Swiss chard is the most hated vegetable in the UK.
Oh, okay.
It's like blet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Torto blet.
Yeah, well, it's got quite a...
Thick white stem in the middle of it.
I know, but the taste, isn't it? Quite irony taste. Yeah. It's got quite a... Yeah. Anyway, have you tried the feta dish?
No.
Ah, the Finland ran out of feta due to this dish. You put a block of feta.
Yes.
Surround it by little cherry tomatoes.
Yes.
Whack it in the oven with a bit of olive oil and salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get it out, you mix it. Pasta, and it's very good, yeah. Very nice, and it's simple.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, we'll try it. It's very tasty. But yeah, Finland went a bit mad about it and they ran out of feta.
Bit like a variation on baked camembert.
Yeah, how are your beans doing? Your baked beans? Have you managed to stock up on...
You know what? I'm not going to say where I got them, but...
Why not? Where did you get them?
I couldn't get any of the usual
back
outlets.
Of a lorry.
And I needed some tahini to make some hummus, and I forgot to buy it in the supermarket where I normally get it. So, all right, I went down to the Asian supermarket in Antibes.
And they had baked beans.
They had not only baked beans, they had PG tips and curry sauce and all the rest of it.
Crikey.
So I snapped up a couple of cans while I was there. I've got about 10 in the cupboard now. Since the baked bean shortage started, my desire for baked beans has suddenly gone away. Typical, isn't it? Oh, well, at least they're there if I ever have a craving. Sarah's back, so the pop quiz is back. I haven't had to think for 2 weeks. They get my
Did you not test
gear.
Yourself? Did you not speak
no.
to yourself? No.
No.
Well, to mark International Women's Day, which has been celebrated for 105 years with the United Nations in 1977, officially declaring March the 8th International Women's Day today. And in some countries, International Women's Day is also Mother's Day. It's all about women today. Question number one.
Sorry, when's International Men's Day?
Well, I think it's every other day of the year, isn't it?
Touché. Yeah, very good.
In 1986, which female American singer was at number one on this day with Chain Reaction?
Diana Ross.
Yeah, you get an extra point if you can tell me which group, who could have been mistaken
the
for women at the time. Yeah, they wrote and produced that song. And
singing the backing vocals as well.
Yeah, and the single became her first number one single in the UK since her hit in 1971. get another extra point if you can tell me that one.
Wasn't that duet with Mum?
She wasn't still standing like Elton John. She was
lying down.
No,
asleep.
She was still waiting.
Oh right, okay.
Yes, I'm still waiting.
Was that her? That wasn't with the Supremes, was it?
No,
no,
I don't think so.
Okay,
no. Question number two: American singer Cher won Worst Dressed Female and Worst Video on this day in 1990.
I thought it was every year.
For which song? Rob said that.
I believe.
No.
Just Like Jesse James?
No. 1990?
Yeah.
It drove me mad, this song. It got on my nerves.
Does not believe?
No, that drives me mad as well.
She drives me mad. Drove Sonny Bono mad as well.
If I could turn back time.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yes.
God, that drives me mad, that song.
The same year, who won Most Unwelcomed Comeback Award? It was a man, it wasn't a woman, but I was quite sad to read this. It was a Rolling Stones magazine's award, this American singer.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
No, it was Donny Osmond. That's a bit rotten. And finally, happy birthday to this female singer with a British pop group and television presenter, born on this day in 1954. She had hits with the group that included Making Your Mind Up and The Land of Make-Believe.
Cheryl, what's her name?
Yeah, can I have the what's her name bit? Or you just gonna
Cheryl? Can't remember.
Danny
Minogue.
Baker.
Cheryl Baker.
Yes, well done.
So you're gonna make me play Bucks Fizz on my first day back?
Yeah, but you've got a choice.
Which one?
Well, you could have either one. Which one do you prefer out of two songs that you don't like, probably? You've got Land of Make Believe's quite. Well, I can't make my mind up.
So I have Land of Make. Is it there?
Yes, it's there.
If I was sort of in court and the judge said you have to choose a Bucks Fizz song or serve 10 years in jail, and the choices are Making Your Mind Up or The Land of Make Believe, I would say The Land of Make Believe, Your Honour.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
You must be delighted, aren't you? Isn't little Henry back at school today?
Champagne corks will be popping across the country as children make their way back to school. So after 2.5 months of home learning, that burden will once again, well, partly, of course, fall on the teachers. So there will be a rejoice in many households, there's no doubt about that.
Are you suggesting that by the time little Henry gets home from school, you might be a bit worse for wear?
I wouldn't think so, but listen, I think it's been an interesting time. I think in some ways Henry's done quite well. His mum's done an amazing job of pushing him forward, which is the good news. But in some ways I think it sort of changes the relationship perhaps you have with your parents, but also your view of your house and your home and where you live and all those types of things. So it'd be nice to get back to some normality.
OK, let's have a look at the markets. Good day on Wall Street on Friday's. The Senate finally passed that stimulus package, and also the non-farm payroll numbers looking quite good.
Yeah, it was an interesting week last week, certainly an intensely volatile one as investors, I guess, questioned central banks' commitment to keep historically low interest rates in place for a prolonged period of time. Short-term inflation expectations rise. Perceived lack of concern from Fed Chair Jerome Powell did little to calm market nerves. In terms of equity performance, actually, despite some heavy losses midweek, major benchmarks rose over the course of the trading week as positive economic data, as you said, helped boost confidence around the speed of the recovery. In Europe, the Stock 600 was up 0.9%. The S&P 500 was up 0.8%. As you say, it was driven by the data. We have the latest report in the US, employment report in the US released on Friday. US economy created more jobs than expected in February. Payrolls rose 379,000. Market was looking for a figure closer to 200,000. January's gain was also upwardly revised to 166,000. As falling COVID cases and the easing of restrictions is encouraging employers to hire back workers. Biggest gains were in the leisure, the hospitality sector. The unemployment rate eased down to 6.2%. Although there's still 10 million unemployed Americans, nearly double the pre-pandemic level. We think the US unemployment rate will be down to 4% at the end of the year. Confidence also getting a boost from the passing of that stimulus package. Over the weekend, the Senate passed President Biden's $1.9 trillion relief bill, the second largest in US history, and expected to be confirmed in a House vote on Tuesday. Key elements to remind you: direct checks of $1,400 sent to millions of Americans. Unemployment benefits increased and extended into September. $350 billion to help schools reopen. Support for state and local government. $160 billion of coronavirus testing and vaccine distribution programs.
You sound exhausted. Have you been prepping little Henry about what he's got to say to the teacher about, you know, lockdown? What did do during lockdown, little Henry?
Did a bit of economics, did the non-farm payroll, he'll tell them. We monitored the oil market. Oil's been interesting over the course of the weekend. Last week we spoke about the fact that OPEC Plus decided not to hike production levels. That sent crude prices higher. Risen further over the course of the weekend, Brent trading above $70 a barrel this morning. That year-to-date gain now standing at 37% after an attack on a Saudi export terminal. So, certainly feeling the effects of that shining through in terms of energy prices.
Yes, I love the deft way which you steered the conversation away from little Henry to the oil price. That was extremely clever.
He's been focusing on a number of things. He'll go back with renewed knowledge of a vast array of areas.
OK, let's just have a look at that $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package in a bit more detail. It's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's a lot of money. The aid should temporarily, I think, supplement income and government spending while the economy is, of course, continues being weighed down by the pandemic. The speeding up of the vaccine rollout should reduce new coronavirus cases, also help to revive the service sector and assist in restoring employment back to those pre-pandemic levels. As we were talking last week, momentum in the US economy has been improving. Lots of evidence from the recent data around that. You look at the labour market we're just talking about, but retail sales, home sales, equipment investment have all been strong. So it looks like we'll get a growth figure plus 4% for the first quarter, 6.4% for the full year, which would be certainly a very strong performance.
Yeah, yet the markets are still worried about inflation.
They are worried about inflation. I don't think investors should be overly concerned. We're not seeing evidence of persistent long-term inflationary pressures build. Policymakers have continuously stated that they will remain ultra-accommodative, even if economies temporarily run hot from an inflation perspective. And we should remember, of course, central banks have plenty of tools to quell rising bond yields, including more aggressive purchases and, if required, the introduction of yield control measures. And again, as we said last week, you should remember rising bond yields can equally be viewed as a consequence of the improving economic environment, which, of course, should be positive for corporate prospects.
Has Andrew Bailey got a blankety blank chequebook and pen?
I don't think it's quite interesting what's happening at the Bank of England at the moment. Not so long ago, 5-6 weeks ago, we're talking about the risk of negative rates. Now we're talking about the risk of higher rates in the UK potentially coming through. I don't think either of those are going to be on the cards. Somewhat of a status quo as we wait to see exactly the size and the shape of the recovery in the UK.
Well, he's certainly going to have to write a few blankety blank checks, isn't he?
You seem to love this line. I don't know why. Will we see them? Well, if you look at the bond buying program, it's now at £895 billion, if memory serves me correctly. That's an astonishing figure. Whether they'll have to add to that, I think, remains to be seen. We still think the UK economy obviously will generate a year of growth this year, somewhat subdued growth compared to what we were talking about in the United States. We've got UK growth around 4%.
You're certainly feeling those questions from the deep this morning. You're doing very well, I must say.
I know, it's a Monday morning and I'm under pressure already.
And Chinese exports are surging, but so the party still isn't happy.
Chinese exports surged in the first 2 months of the year, reflecting strong global demand for manufactured goods. We've seen robust demand for things, as you probably expect, medical equipment, working from home devices. Exports jumped 60%, reflects, of course, the low base of 2020 when the economy was in lockdown. but it's well above the 40% that expectations that economists had penciled in. In February alone, exports more than doubled from a year ago. Imports have also been rising. I think they're up 22%. The trade surplus reached $103 billion in the period. China's benefiting from improving demand from trading partners, particularly in the US and Europe, along with domestic demand as well, seeing loads of evidence around that V-shaped recovery playing out and starting to filter through to stronger domestic consumption. In terms of future trade prospects, inevitably will hinge upon, I suppose, the speed of the global recovery and the tone of the trading relationship between China and the new Biden administration.
Sounds a bit like the Chelsea season, doesn't it? A V-shaped recovery.
It's looking all right for Chelsea again. No problems there.
Not too bad. Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 138. Euro dollar coming in at 119. Going to get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
Okay, you can go and have a rest now.
Thank you, sir.
Go
have a good
day. Go and
put
your feet up. Have a cup of Horlicks or something.
I wish I could.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Cheers.
Hank Boston, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
Public Health France figures published on Sunday have shown that the number of COVID patients in intensive care in France is at its highest since November, with 3,743 patients currently admitted to intensive care. 21,825 new cases of COVID have been identified, bringing the total of cases declared in France since the start of the pandemic to 3.9 million. The number of deaths from COVID has climbed to 88,600, including 130 in the last 24 hours. Meanwhile, the vaccination campaign gained momentum over the weekend. According to French Prime Minister Jean Castex, some 585,000 people have been vaccinated since Friday, the 5th of March. At the weekend, Marseille and the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur regions have received 18,720 vaccinations from Pfizer-BioNTech and 30,000 from AstraZeneca. Vaccination tents have been set up in the Old Port of Marseille. And speaking to French media, the city's deputy mayor announced that Marseille was ready to open the Vélodrome Stadium. The stadium, which usually hosts Olympic Marseille matches, will become a major vaccination centre against COVID-19. The president of the Association of Victims of COVID-19 has requested from France's head of state a national day of mourning dedicated to those in France who have lost their lives to COVID. In response, Macron has recognised the request, saying that he does not want the victims of COVID to remain mere numbers. And in Monaco, four new cases of COVID were declared on Sunday, the 7th of March, bringing the total number of residents affected since the beginning of the pandemic to 2,023. 41 people are currently hospitalised in the principality and nine are in intensive care. 67 people are being cared for by the Home Monitoring Centre. Monegasque authorities remind those returning from holiday that they must carry out a COVID test. This can be done by contacting the COVID call centre in Monaco on 92055500, and that number is available on our website, rivieradio.mc, under this morning's news section. In other news, 33 people have been evacuated by firefighters after a blaze broke out in an apartment block in Carros on Sunday evening. The alert was raised at around 11 p.m. Firefighters say the fire was caused by a major electrical fault. Two people have been injured in a riding accident. The accident occurred on Sunday morning in the town of Bez-sur-Isole in the Var. A four-year-old child riding with her mother fell from a horse, and a second woman, also on horseback, tried to avoid the incident and fell, being dragged several metres along the ground. Both the 24-year-old woman and child were taken to hospital in Toulon, suffering serious injuries. An 80-year-old has had his throat cut following an altercation with another motorist in southern Corsica. The incident occurred on Sunday afternoon. Several other people suffered minor injuries after trying to intervene. An investigation has been opened to determine the exact circumstances behind the attack. French MP and billionaire Olivier Dassault has died in a helicopter crash in northwestern France. The accident occurred on Sunday evening in Normandy, where he had a holiday home. French President Emmanuel Macron has paid tribute to 69-year-old Dassault, saying that he loved France and his death would be a great loss. Five people have been questioned by police following three consecutive nights of violence on the outskirts of Lyon. Speaking on Sunday while visiting the Pas-de-Calais, France's interior minister said he believed the incidents to be fueled by the recent increase in drug trafficking in the area and has insisted that the behaviour was unacceptable. Two vehicles were set alight and a police van damaged after violence erupted shortly before 6 p.m. The 6 p.m. curfew on Saturday. 200 additional officers have since been deployed to the area. In a move which will be welcomed by anti-cruelty campaigners, Britain looks set to ban the import of foie gras. Ministers are believed to want to take advantage of Brexit by blocking imports, with Lord Goldsmith, the animal welfare minister, determined to implement the ban in the next few months. British farmers are already banned from producing foie gras, but shops and restaurants can currently continue to import it under rules still enforced from the UK's membership of the EU. Meanwhile, Paris Town Hall has held the first of three weekend conferences to supply the capital with quality food and promote a healthy diet. At the weekend, the capital welcomed 100 participants, as well as representatives from the world of agriculture, to take part in Agri Paris, which aims to create a super cooperative, which will increase the share of organic and sustainable food in collective catering, as well as school canteens, to 100% by 2026. In addition to this, the City Council also wants to focus on local produce by supplying the capital with fruit and vegetables from market gardeners located within a radius of 250 kilometres compared to the current 650 kilometre radius. Finally, as today marks International Women's Day, France's Minister for Gender Equality has suggested that the French President, Emmanuel Macron, is not setting the example when it comes to equality within his cabinet members, with only one woman member out of the 13 cabinet members. Asked on whether political leaders should set the example on the subject, Elisabeth Moreno replied, "Yes, if we preach something so important, we must set an example," adding that she had told Macron that he was not setting an example. However, the minister went on to defend the president's action on gender equality, saying that he has nevertheless made the issue an important cause in his five-year term.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football Rangers have won their first Scottish Premiership title in 10 years after arch-rivals Celtic had only drawn 0-0 at Dundee United on Sunday. Rangers beat St Mirren 3-0 on Saturday and now have an unassailable 20-point lead at the top of the table. The success is a triumph for manager Stephen Gerrard in his third season at Ibrox. He said there was much more to come from his side. Rangers have dropped only 8 points so far this season, scoring 77 goals and conceding just 9. There were 4 games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details and then a dissection afterwards from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Al Ross at BBC Sport, and Manchester United have brought Manchester City's sequence of 21 straight wins in all competitions to a crashing halt with an impressive derby victory at the Etihad. City still have what looks to be an unassailable 11-point lead at the top of the Premier League, but United now 22 league away games unbeaten. They were ahead after a penalty awarded inside 30 seconds, Bruno Fernandes slotting home, then a second-half goal from Luke Shaw. Here's United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
We defended really well, and we were more like ourselves with the ball attacking-wise. Like, we can see the goal there. We need to find a goal, and that's where we have to get the ball. And you go forward quickly, and when we have players with our pace and quality, that's what I want them to do.
Liverpool suffered their 6th straight home defeat with a 1-0 defeat to relegation-threatened Fulham. Mario Lemina's goal on the stroke of half-time proving decisive there. Liverpool now 4 points adrift of the top four, having won just one of their last 7 Premier League matches. Here's boss Jurgen Klopp.
Fulham played a good game and a very passionate game and these kind of things. If you score them 1 goal, you deserve to win. So it's not about me now finding always, like immediately after the game, the words to give everybody belief again, confidence again. We feel that in the moment. It's not that we just go over it and think, who cares? No, we care a lot. And so it's a really tough moment.
Elsewhere, Harry Kane and Gareth Bale both scored twice as Tottenham beat Crystal Palace 4-1. They go above Liverpool and into 5th. Newcastle against West Brom ended goalless. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
What's going on?
I don't know. We're very weary, aren't we? A bit broken, I think.
Six home games.
Well, it all started to go wrong with Burnley in January, didn't it? It went downhill from then on.
Stuart says if you want to jump ship and support Burnley, you can offer you
I might just do that, Stuart.
A nice meat and potato pie washed down with hot bovril.
Makes it worth it.
Yeah,
oh, no,
I know I know they've got a few injuries, but all clubs have injuries. And it's just, I mean, you know, of course, I was delighted when Chelsea beat you on Thursday.
I bet you were. Yeah, I didn't know. I think there was a text from you, wasn't there? I chose to ignore that.
I waited until Friday, though.
You did? Yeah. Satellite delay.
But I didn't see you losing at home to Fulham, so there's definitely something going
wrong, isn't there? Well, we'll have to concentrate on the Wednesday night.
Champions League. You're having it off. Two games tonight. Chelsea against Everton.
Oh, for goodness sake. Yes, Chelsea will win.
I don't know, because it's a tricky one. Everton playing well. I think that might be a draw, actually, in West Ham against Leeds.
West Ham.
Well, if Chelsea draw and West Ham win, then West Ham will go back up to fourth. Rugby Union, there was one game in the Gallagher Premiership on Sunday. Harlequins beat Northampton 37-19. Tennis, Roger Federer says he never seriously considered retiring from the game during his 40 months away and still feels the story is not over. The 39-year-old will make his return to the sports of the Qatar Open this week in what will be his first appearance on the tour since losing to Novak Djokovic in last year's Australian Open semi-finals. Federer says he's pain and injury-free. He's had two knee operations during his time off and says he wants to go out on his own terms. And in golf, Bryson DeChambeau's power to victory in the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, Florida. The American finished on 11 under par with the final round of 71 to hold off England's Lee Westwood by one shot. Rory McIlroy faded after leading following the first round and finished among a cluster of players on 3 under par.
The weather forecast brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Outer Sea in the VAR. The general situation, high pressure, 1,020 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, easterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,020 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, showers, force 2 to 4, northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northeasterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,019 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, showery, force 3 to 5, northeasterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. Give your yacht a new lease of life with an upgrade, repair or refit from our expert team. Refitmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine again today, light to moderate northeasterly winds, top temperatures 16 degrees, overnight lows 8 to 10 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Tuesday, Wednesday, sunshine and showers tomorrow, partially cloudy on Wednesday, highs of 13 to 15 degrees. Finally.
Do you ever make a wish?
Yeah, quite often. Never come true though.
Yeah, but what do you do when you make a wish? Do you wish upon a star or do you wish on...
I wish that this would happen.
Well, in these uncertain times, we're seeing a boom in people turning to spiritual practices for reassurance. After almost 12 months expecting the unexpected, many of us are desperate to believe in the power of crystals, coloured light, vibrations and tea leaves, or sending our most heartfelt wishes to the moon. Yes, moon wishing, in fact, is one of the fastest growing lockdown pastimes. The theory is simple. You write a wish on a piece of paper, read it aloud, visualise it happening, and then ask the moon to make it come true. It's a bit like making a New Year's resolution, only instead of relying solely on your own willpower, you can call on the powers of the universe via the moon to give you a bit of extra support. The moon is believed to act as a kind of help desk, which delivers wishes to the universe.
Really?
Well, try it.
It's a bit like message in the bottle, though.
I don't know.
Yeah. I need to wish anything. I'll just ask Gavin Sharp what to do. He'll tell me.
Oh, so I hear. Yeah. How was it? Very,
very
popular.
Very good, actually. Yeah. We did that little voice inside your head that tells you you're no good.
Oh, yeah. I have that every
just
day.
Just ignore it.
Is that what you're supposed to do? Just ignore it.
And Gavin will be back on the first Wednesday in April for Wellbeing Window, and we're doing Infidelity.
Ooh, Mrs.
Ooh.
Get you. That'll be fun.